morning. It's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day service. We hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today is Communion Sunday, and our communion is an open one. We invite all to partake as you will. When I or an elder come to your pew, if you wish to receive communion, please stand, otherwise remain seated. Want to welcome back Cindy Steele. It's always a joy to have her participate in worship with us. We also want to welcome Milo Sherman, who is a member of our confirmation class, and he will be leading the liturgy and the scripture reading. Eric Hagman's funeral is this Tuesday at Hune's Funeral Home in Sturgeon Bay at 2:30. Please remember the family in your prayers. Next Sunday, we have a very special treat. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we will be having a concert here. This is a free concert, and it features Colin Welford and Cindy Steele, and it should be a marvelous event. If you have not responded to the online Evite, there are sign-up sheets here. We'd like to know how many are coming, so if you have not signed up previously, please do so today. Our watchword for the week is taken from 1 Corinthians. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Would you please stand with me as we sing hymn number 520, Sing to Our God, a Song of Cheer. Of our hymnals for a general prayer of intercession, which Milo Sherman will lead.
God's amazing grace is offered to us today, tomorrow, and forever. Thanks be to God.
God's grace renews our lives like a flowing stream. Thanks be to God for the wellspring of the joy of living.
In the assurance of God's unconditional love, pour it out for us in Jesus Christ, we pray first for ourselves and for our needs. For forgiveness for wrongs we have done and good deeds we have not done, for courage to change what needs changing within our lives, for wisdom to seek God's guidance, for healing of our body, mind, spirit, and relationships, for our thankful awareness of the blessings of our lives. Hear our prayers, God of grace.
Lead us in our need and in our honesty.
In the abundance of your mercy, we pray for others, for members of our families, for our friends and neighbors, for those with whom we work and learn and play, for the sick, the frightened, the lonely, for those who grieve, for those who are desperate and angry, for those in prison, for the hungry, for the homeless, the poor, and those who we perceive as our enemies. Hear our prayers, God of compassion.
Send your spirit upon all over whom we pray.
In the awareness that we are one with all your human creation, we pray about the issues that confront us all, for our planet and the environment in which we live, for the end of war, ethnic conflict, and all violence, for liberation from racism, bigotry, and injustice, for freedom from addictions of all kinds, for the end of abuse of children, women, and men, for each member of the human family, that all may know the dignity and worth of being a child of God, for solutions to our common human dilemmas, and for our dedication to be part of those solutions. Hear our prayers, God of justice, God of love.
May your love and justice be manifest in our lives. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
In this act of worship, we come in faith, faith that our problems will not defeat us, faith that our hearts and spirits can be renewed, faith that we are not alone, for you are with us.
Thanks be to you, God our Savior, for meeting us here in this time and place. Thanks be to you for forgiving us, for freeing us, and for strengthening us to be your disciples in this life.
We are filled with the grace, mercy, and peace of God.
We are filled with the love of Jesus Christ. We give thanks that we are blessed, and we commit ourselves to be a blessing to others. Amen.
And as we commit ourselves to be a blessing to others, we are blessed in this congregation with leadership in our church. And those leaders were elected at our church council last week, and they will be installed this week. Some are not with us in person, but are watching online, and I'm sure they will repeat the words as they are able. And when I, in the liturgy, when I get to your name, if you are here in the church, just simply stand and remain standing while we speak these words together. This is the installation of officers that is found in your bulletins. Dear friends, you have been called by God and chosen by our members for leadership in the church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. It recognizes your special gifts and calls you to work among us. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation and challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to this people, and to our ministry. Live a life in Christ and make him known in your witness and your work. Today, we install elders Linda Carey, Karen Eckberg, Cece Mulliken, Penny Schultz, Kathy Zahner, and Summer Elder Tiggy Shields. Trustees Tad Dukart, Rob Meyer, Carly Mulliken, Natalie Netterson, and B.D. Thorpe. Will you devote yourself to the service of God in this congregation? Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen? To the congregation, will you do all you can to assist and encourage our boards in the responsibilities to which they have been called, giving them your cooperation, your counsel, and your prayers?
We will.
Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these, your servants, who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep before them the example of our Lord, who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for us all. Let them share his ministry and consecration, that they may enter into his joy. Guide them in their work. Reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the prayer, work, and encouragement given to us by those who served so faithfully over the past few years, Sherry Moore and Ganilla Wilson. We are grateful for their loving service. May we all serve you with joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and please, after the service today, we have fellowship hour in Fellowship Hall. We invite you to that and to welcome our board members and give them encouragement. Now let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
seated, and Milo will now come to read our scripture lessons.
Our New Testament lesson is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak of wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. For we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For which human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Matthew. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until it is accomplished. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And they shall come.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know that when certain words are spoken, we automatically have an idea of what they mean. They're so part of our DNA. You think of the word saint. When you hear the word saint, what do you think of? Somebody with a halo polished overhead, somebody who's really, really good. And every time I preach on the word saint, I use the biblical understanding, which was not about the halo. It was about everybody who's in church, everybody who's part of the family of God is a saint. But even though I preached that, I really didn't believe it. Because we've had this culture of sainthood being the halo. And after church, there was one dear sainted fellow that I knew. His name was Richard, and he was my favorite curmudgeon. And anytime we got together, we butt heads. So when I preached that sermon, I'd go to the back of the church and we greet each other. I'd say, "Hello, Saint Richard." And he'd say, "Hello, Saint Dawn." And we'd both laugh our heads off because we didn't believe it, even though that's the definition of saint, is all those who know and love Jesus. It's the same with the expression, the salt of the earth. When you hear that expression, oh, he or she is the salt of the earth, what do you think? What is the automatic thing that comes into your head? Somebody who's really good, a philanthropist, someone who gives of themselves, someone not like me. If I were to describe myself, it wouldn't have been the salt of the earth, it would be the cayenne pepper on top of ice cream. Salt of the earth. We have made it so churchy and so holy that we forget who Jesus was speaking to. When he said to the people on the mountaintop, "You are the salt of the earth," he was not saying, "I want you to aspire to be something." He was not saying, "This is what I mean by that." He was not talking to a group of philanthropists. He was not talking in a temple. He was not talking in a synagogue. He wasn't even talking to the elite or the leaders in his community. He was talking to the laborers. He was talking to the shepherds. He was talking to people who could barely get themselves out of bed in the morning and try to figure out life. He was not talking to people who had an aspirational hope. They were just trying to take care of business every day. And he said, "You are the salt of the earth." In other words, you are worthy. You are people of honor. Can you imagine the people of that time sitting in the grassy field, kids running around, and hear, "You are the salt of the earth." Not, "This is what I want you to become. This is what you already are." That's how God sees us, as the salt of the earth, as the bedrock, as the goodness in this world. It's the creation story all over again. When God saw his creation and he saw human beings and he said, "They are very good. You are the salt of the earth." I think of a wonderful story in our history. It's a story from Mahatma Gandhi's life. If you remember that story, in that part of India at that time, making salt was illegal because the government figured that making salt would be a good government project and it would keep the people impoverished and under their thumb. So they decided that anyone who was poor could not make salt for themselves, could not make salt to sell, and the government had the monopoly on salt. And Gandhi felt that this was so unjust that he was going to do a march to the beaches where salt was prevalent in India, and he was going to, in that march, he was going to make salt, and this was his protest. So he started out on this journey, and of course he gained people on the way, but the government realized what he was going to do, so they ordered the police to go to that field that they knew he was going to and trample that salt underfoot so it would be useless. And so he gets to this trampled field of salt, and he was undaunted. He picked up a clump of muddy salt, and he cleaned it up, and it was still good. And he showed it to his followers, and he encouraged all of them to clean up that salt so that they could have the salt in their tables. I thought, what an illustration that is, that even when salt is trampled underfoot, even when it's a mess, it still has wonderful qualities once it's cleaned up. And so often we feel that we've been trampled down by life, that we don't have what it takes to influence anyone and to take care of anyone because our lives have been so trampled under. And God says, you still are the salt of the earth. We might need a little cleaning up now and then, but we are still the salt of the earth. And that is our encouragement today, and that is our challenge today. Not to say you have to become, but you are, and let's live into it. How are we going to live into God's vision of us as the salt of the earth, as the light of the world? What will we be this week living in to God's reality? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the power and the presence that you have given to us, that we are beloved children of God, that we are your salt and your light. Amen. We come to that point of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. And for a praise report, Keel, who was one of our ushers today, has qualified for state from his swim meet. And so he will be going to participate in a state swim meet, and we're so proud of him. And we're so thankful for our young people and our young families who are here today. God has blessed us with a wonderful church family, and thank you, Keel, for sharing that with me today. We want to remember those who are in need of prayer for Anne. This is daughter of Ellen, who has some serious health concerns. We want to remember Kim, who was in the ICU. We want to remember Joni, who's also in ICU. She is facing open heart surgery tomorrow. We want to remember the family of Eric Hagman as they gather to remember his life. We want to remember Kathy in our prayer. She is doing so much better, and we're so grateful to God for that. And we want to remember Maggie. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so thankful for our families. We're so thankful for our young people who have aspire to so many wonderful things. We're thankful for Keel, and we ask that you would be with him as he goes to state. We're so grateful for your mercy and your kindness. We're so grateful that the people we have mentioned today are in your loving care, that your grace sustains them each and every day. And so we lift up Anne, and we ask for healing. We lift up Kim and Joni. We ask that you would be with them in their extremity and grant to them your healing mercy. We ask for the family of Eric as they go through this sad time together, that you would grant to them your mercy and your peace. We ask that you would continue to strengthen Kathy and Maggie. For your mercies new every morning, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For the Lord's Supper, we ask that you turn to hymn 739 and 742. We will be singing them one after the other as we serve the Lord's Supper, and then we'll have the response after that. Our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins."
Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish.
Would you turn with me to page 193? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this and eat from this, all of you. Do this whenever you eat and drink in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Upon you and give to you his peace.